Yeah, so I'm talking about wastewater, so I'm a little different than everybody here. So this is work that I did at the end of my PhD at the University of Rhode Island. So what I'm going to be talking to you today about is just briefly go over the water quality that we found looking at sort of the chronic scenario of climate change, and then more go into the new material, which is actually looking at microbial community structure using the Illumina sequencing method. So I want to acknowledge my advisor, Jose Amador, who is with the Next Generation, another presentation, who's giving one right now. So there's a high distribution of on-site wastewater in the United States. So this is septic systems. So these are soil-based wastewater treatment where the primary mechanism of treatment is the soil itself. So I especially want to point your attention to this East Coast here, where you see these dark, the black box are the states in black are the ones that have more than 40%. Rhode Island has about 31% on average, and Rhode Island also has a lot of coastal zones. Actually, the high tide, the state gets 3% smaller, so a lot of ocean there with shoreline. Additionally, we live along the coast. Right now, I believe our population is 39%. This is from a few years ago. So what this graph is showing, that this is projecting into 2020. This is from NOAA, but these coastal communities that are getting this darker blue, that's where we're projecting to get higher increases in population. The ones in the orange, when it gets darker, they're supposed to be decreases in population. So in general, approaching half of our country is living in these coastal communities and coastal counties. So we have a lot of septic systems in these coastal communities, and we have a lot of people living in those. So this is probably new to some people in the room, just talk about, we tested two different types of septic systems. One is just a conventional system, and this is what is in the majority of the country. This is where you have all your wastewater going to primary treatment, where you get settling of the heavier solids in your septic tank. Those oils and fats and greases flow to the top, and you're getting that cleaned, relatively clear effluent going into your soil drain film, which is where you're getting the primary treatment and a reduction of bacteria, carbon, phosphorus, and nitrogen. Then we have in what Rhode Island we call these advanced systems, and these were designed primarily for these coastal areas where we're already seeing an impact on that separation distance. So septic systems function on that volume of unsaturated soil, and that is where the primary treatment is done. So what these were designed to do was reduce that pathogen load by addition of a single-pass sand filter. So these start out getting that same treatment, a primary treatment in a septic tank. Then they go through a single-pass sand filter, and that reduces the strength of the wastewater. So it takes out a lot of that biochemical oxygen demand, it reduces bacteria, it absorbs a little bit of phosphorus. Because this one was quite old, actually, it removed some nitrogen as well. What I want to point out is these are not nitrogen removers. They're not designed to be that way, and because nitrogen removal is the main problem in septic systems. These advanced systems also have a dispersal into a shallower drain field. So you're not getting dispersal into that deeper sea horizon, which we see with the conventional systems. So you actually get dispersal into it's about the low A, B horizon. So you have a greater volume of soil in those systems. So you're supposed to aid in advanced treatment and really help when you're in these coastal areas where you're already getting that sea level rise, bringing the water tables up. Additionally, these advanced systems have controlled timers, so they have a very even amount of moisture onto the soil. So it's basically a straight line. They get a dose every 30 minutes over 30 minutes. Whereas conventional systems are dosed based on use. You get a high peak of use about every 12 hours, corresponding to morning and evening use when you're in the home. Additionally, climate change is supposed to exacerbate what is already some poor performance in septic systems. So I think it's actually gotten worse since these projections, but I've been on my PhD for a year, so I didn't update the slide, I'm sorry. But previously, you can see here, this is just the areas in the northeast that would be underwater if we have a meter of sea level rise. And now I think the greatest projections are up to 12 feet. I know there are a lot of areas that are supposed to be underwater in the next 100 years. Additionally, we're supposed to get increased precipitation in New England, so this is going to mean wetter soils. And for on-site wastewater treatment, wetter soils generally lead to poorer treatment because we want them to have oxygen. And we're also supposed to get warmer. So with warmer temperatures, you're going to be having, here's the actual prediction, with warmer temperatures, you're actually going to be getting increased consumption of microbial respiration, so beginning consumption of more oxygen to leave less oxygen for wastewater treatment. So overall, this paints a negative picture for a lot of these septic systems. In these areas, I showed before, septic systems were in this coastal area. I always get asked this question, so I'm going to preempt it. The girl that's now in my lab, she's actually looking into if there is an effect on water tables from sea level rise, and she is finding about 1.3 centimeters per year, I believe, was her preliminary research. So she's going back and looking at historical data of water tables that were installed in houses within regions in the area. So she's finding that there is an increase, and Rhode Island in the last 50 years has seen 8 centimeters of sea level rise. So to test these septic systems, we actually did a laboratory experiment where we took intact soil cores. So basically, we took this excavator, we pressed this PVC pipe into the ground and tried to extract an intact core. Depending on which technology we were looking at, some we would just backfill that whole A and B horizon if you're using conventional, and some would only backfill the very top portion if that was one of those advanced systems. And then brought them back to the lab. We instrumented them with moisture sensors, temperature sensors, and then we looked at the water quality parameters to start out with under a present climate and a climate change scenario. So what we did for the bacteria and for the microbial community analysis that I'm going to show with you is we actually looked at the inputs. We had two different inputs depending on the technology type. We had septic tank effluent, which is STE, and this is straight out of the septic tank without any further pretreatment. Within our home that we tested, got our wastewater from, we also had sand-filtered effluent from the same point in that treatment train that had passed the single-pass sand filter. So that's the cleaner water that would go into the advanced systems, which is supposed to have enhanced pretreatment before you get it to the soil. For this experiment, we looked for the microbial analysis, we looked at native soil. We had a present climate condition where we actually have 20 degrees Celsius, that's the average soil temperature currently, and we had our system set at the technology-specified depth separation distance between the infiltrative surface and where you reach the groundwater. Then we had two different climate change scenarios. We had what would be a chronic climate change scenario where you're just getting that slow elevation of the water table. We did the water table elevation at one point and let the system stabilize. So then we took additional measurements where we had 1 foot of water table rise, which is a pretty moderate scenario, which is predicted in the next 100 years in Rhode Island. And we also wrapped heating coils around the tube, so this also increased the temperature 25 degrees, which is, again, about a moderate prediction for the next 100 years in Rhode Island. And at the very end, I wanted to look to see what happened. Superstorm Sandy came through when I was in my PhD the first semester and ripped apart a lot of these systems, but also just drenched a lot of those coastal ones with salt water. So we did an acute storm surge event where we basically put salt water in the top so I could see it completely saturate the column. We took waited 48 hours and took samples of the microbial community as well. Just to briefly share what the technology performance was, this is what I presented last year, so I didn't want to go through this again, but this is not a wastewater crowd. So what I'm going to show you, these are the massive contaminants released from 1 year of operation comparing between the systems. Here, the dark bar that's missing in this one is because there was none, but the dark bars are going to be present climate, and the lighter gray bars are going to be the climate change condition. This is not dealing with the native soil, which had no wastewater, and this is not dealing with the storm surge. This is just looking at a present climate versus the climate change predictions. So this is release of contaminants over a year. We had our present climate conditions. These systems worked like they were supposed to, and we did not have any fecal coliform bacteria at all. So that was great. We implemented climate change. We saw wetter soils in general. And both systems, actually the advanced, released more fecal coliform bacteria. They also received a higher volume of water. So that is part of it, but this is normalized for 1 year of operation of the same amount of water. So relatively, the advanced systems actually perform worse because they are wetter in general, getting that really even dose of water. They don't have that drying period, so we think there wasn't as much microbial attachment. Nitrogen is poorly removed in septic systems. Even these advanced ones, these are not those really advanced designs for nitrogen removal. So we still see a large amount. This is kilograms of total nitrogen per year. They both were pretty poor under present climate and climate change conditions. We did see more nitrogen under climate change. Again, wetter conditions did not help to remove nitrogen from these systems. We did have some denitrification that was slightly enhanced in that conventional system to perform maybe a little bit better, but still overall we're getting poor nitrogen removal. looking at biochemical oxygen demand, again, this is coming out the bottom. The warmer temperatures likely aided in consumption of VOD, so you had more consumption of that really available carbon. So in general, under climate change, we saw less VOD coming out of these systems, and it was less than the advanced systems. So they already had that pre-filtered treatment, so that helped them. And then total phosphorus. This was the most interesting story. We had pretty good removal, almost complete removal of phosphorus in the advanced systems under normal present climate conditions. We had fairly good, about 80% removal in the conventional systems under present climate conditions. We implemented climate change. We saw that both of them had extreme release of phosphorus, and this is after we let the system stabilize. So what we believe is primarily was that we were getting, with wetter conditions, less oxygen, we were getting a reduction of iron and then release of phosphorus. It was bound to the iron. So just to kind of summarize, keep this in mind as we go forward, the conventional performed better for removing fecal coliform bacteria and nitrogen under climate change, and the advanced systems were better at removing VOD and total phosphorus. So then, I'm a chemist, and I wanted to delve into microbial community. So what we did was we did just the normal Illumina sequencing. We extracted the DNA from samples. We took samples from the native soil, again from those four that I was showing before, and we took them after the end of a year of present climate conditions, and it was almost another year of climate change conditions. We took those samples, and then we did our storm surge event, and we took those samples 48 hours afterwards. So that would be more of an immediate effect. So we extracted, we performed PCR to amplify the communities, we sequenced with Illumina through high throughput processing, and basically what this spits out to you is a bunch of data of your of the most relative abundant communities there. This does not mean they're necessarily functioning, but it's telling us the relative abundance of different microbial communities in these soils. So first of all, they just do some nice summaries you can do in CHIME, so you can see the relative difference between certain groups. So this is diversity, so how many different species are in the soil. So what you can actually see here, this phase PD here on the Y, this is actually the measure of diversity, it's what it's called. So when you get higher in this graph, you're getting more diverse microbial communities. So what you can actually see, what stands out here, is that native soil has a more higher diversity of microbial communities. So with the addition of wastewater, and even our storm surge, we had wastewater, and then we added salt water, we decreased that diversity. So wastewater is a hard environment to live in. It's very acidic, especially in these soils. You have lots of gases coming in. There's high methane. There's high amounts of hydrogen sulfide. So we're basically limiting who can live there by adding wastewater to the soil. Then if we look at evenness, we don't see a huge amount of difference. So evenness is the number of measures of each species within a community. So a very even sample would have 50 counts of every of the species we measure in there. So what we can see is the native soil is the most even soil as well. So we're losing that evenness. So what it means is that we have, especially in the present climate and the climate change, we're having more variable counts of each species. So you're having some that are really proliferating and being much more able to survive in this environment than you're having with this under storm surge or the native soil, which has more evenness of the communities. We also wanted to look at depth. This is combining, I haven't gone through and parsed out each technology yet, but this is looking at depth as we go down to the soil profile. So on the left, we have the native soil, A, B, the C1, and C2 horizons, which are the general horizons we have in Rhode Island. And you can see on the A and B horizons, you have much more diversity in microbial communities, much more healthy microbial communities there. As you go down to the C1 and C2, they're very rocky, so we don't have a lot of diversity. But again, you add wastewater, and you do not have a lot of diversity. You're really losing that. I got told I went 1 minute. So, again, it's kind of a similar story. With depth, you have more evenness in those upper parts. But with the wastewater, they're more stable down at the bottom because you're getting that kind of similar water at the bottom, so they become more even when you're looking at on-site wastewater. So these are the scary graphs. On the left, we have the inputs, the input wastewater. Middle, we have the native soil, and then we have the present climate here. Just my quick, I'm not going to really have time to go into this. We do see some differences in communities here. We can see we have more acidic, we actually have a lot of E. coli in the top soil and the native soil. It was really adjacent to a plot where there was animals, so we think that's probably from animal inputs. We do get more of that green, is more of that E. coli. We also start to see gamma proteobacteria, things that are human pathogens here that are changing from when we go to native soil. The climate change, we actually, because of that warmer condition, we might have actually been promoting consumption of the E. coli, so we actually see less of this green, which is mostly E. coli here, than we do in the present climate. And just to sum up here, again, that trend kind of confirms that when we add that salt water, we're probably killing a lot of those E. coli here. So just to conclude, the taxonomy is scary. Microbial communities did shift dramatically within nutrient wastewater. We do observe shifts in microbial communities along these climate conditions. And again, as far when I get more into elucidating these, it'll be easier. And we do see changes with depth. So they're going to make a paper. We're going to go through this more, and I should be able to give you more information than these initial results. So thank you for your time. Sorry if I went over.